Good morning.
God bless you all. Thank you for coming out and joining us in worship this morning to God. Thank you to the visitors for coming. It is great that you are here to worship with us and to serve God in worship and adoration to our King. Before we begin, let's start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, God, so much for this beautiful time that we can gather and study your word and to glean how we are supposed to live our lives based on your word. Lord, I pray that you would be with us. We invite you to be here with us this morning, and we want your presence to be here. Lord, we also want our lives to reflect you this morning. So we ask that you bless our service this morning and pray that you would be with all the parts that have of our service this morning. So we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to talk a little bit about fellowship this morning. One of the big chapters for this is 1 John chapter 1. And I'm going to read that, the whole chapter, and then I would like to take a look at some relationships that was good and some relationships that was broken. 1 John chapter 1 starts out, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So here we have Christ that came forth in the beginning, and he is the beginning, and we have seen him, or John has seen him, and Christ has shown us eternal life. And he is saying in verse 3 that we have seen and declared that we can have fellowship with God. We can have fellowship with the Father, and we can have fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to take a look also in Genesis, and this is a relationship with God that was broken. In Genesis chapter 3, we know that the serpent defiled or tempted Eve, and she ate of the tree that she was not supposed to. In verse Actually, And that is where we have the fall as well. And that fall is a broken relationship with God. And I'm going to start chapter 3, verse 8. This is after the fall, after they had known that they had sinned. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And later on in that chapter, we have what will happen. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And then he said to the woman, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And he said unto Adam, he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." And all of that comes from a broken relationship. A broken relationship with God, that one-way communication with God is now intercepted by sin. And it's the same way with us. If we have a vibrant relationship with God and we have sin in our lives that we know of and we just don't take care of it, our relationship with God will be put on hold. We will not have a vibrant relationship with God. We won't have that fellowship, like it says in 1 John, with God, with the Father. This is one example of a relationship or fellowship with God that is not where it should be. Also, in the genealogies, there's also another relationship that it is spoken of and recorded in history. And I'm going to read just a few verses here. It says, and in chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "And Enoch walked with God." In verse 24, it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And then later on, I believe it was mentioned of Noah that he also walked with God. And can that be said of us today? Can it be said from my peers, from society? Can it be said Joshua Womble walked with God? Or Clinton Oberholzer, he walked with God? When we have passed on from this earth, will it be said of us that this person, they truly walked with God? And it's a challenge to keep that relationship open at times. You know, we have trials in our life. We have things that is not what it should be at times. And we need to keep our relationship open with God, we need to get in His Word. We need to read the Word of God. We need to pray. We need to communicate with God. So, fellowship with God. Where is fellowship found? It is found in churches, with believers, fellow believers with God. It is also found in the Scriptures. We can have fellowship with God in that way. Our fellowship with God will leave an imprint in our lives. Others should be able to tell if we have fellowship with God. In 1 John chapter 1, it says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And then it goes on and with the fellowship. One of the things that I see here is if we want to have fellowship with God, we must align our lives to be light. There cannot be any sin in our lives that we knowingly know, because light and darkness do not mix. Pureness and sin, they don't mix. They are not compatible. They are so far away from each other. Goodness also does not mix with darkness. True goodness. Yeah, we can do good deeds without having a relationship with God, but true goodness and darkness do not mix. And holiness is another one. Holiness does not mix with darkness. We have to be holy. And all of that comes from having a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in verse 5 it says, God is light. That could be all the attributes of God. Goodness, pure, holy. We can name all sorts of different attributes of God. And all of that is summed up into light. It is all summed up with God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There is no darkness, none. So God is 100% light. He is 100% there for us as well when we need Him. The last five verses here in 1 John, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So that those last verses there sort of sum up how we can have a relationship with God. We need to acknowledge that we are sinful. We need to read the Word of God. We need to confess our sins. And Jesus, who is faithful to us and faithful in all things, is able to cleanse us from that sin, from that filthiness and unrighteousness. And then if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. We deceive ourselves, but it says that we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. There's a song that was written that I would like to read the history of it. The song is found in our hymns of the church. I'm not sure what number it is, but the song title is I Must Tell Jesus. And this is written by Elisha Hoffman, which he composed many, many songs and hymns. And he was visiting with a woman to whom God permitted many visitations of sorrow and affliction. Coming to her home one day, I found her much discouraged. She unburdened her heart, concluding with a question, Brother Hoffman, what shall I do? What shall I do? I quoted from the word, then added, You cannot do better than to take all your sorrows to Jesus. You must tell Jesus. For a moment, she seemed lost in meditation. Then her eyes lightened, and she exclaimed, Yes, I must tell Jesus. As I left her home, I had a vision of that joy or joyful face, and I heard her, and I heard all along my pathway the echo, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Pastor Hoffman quickly wrote the words and soon completed the music as well. Since its publication in 1894, the hymn text has reminded many believers that they have a heavenly friend who is always available to hear and help. And the words go, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves me and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. But if I ask him, he will deliver. Make all my troubles quickly an end. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world the victory to win. And then the chorus is, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. And that song is, it reads fellowship. I must tell Jesus. I have to. When I have burdens in life, I must tell Jesus. When I have hard times, when I have trials, whatever it is, I must tell Jesus. In conclusion, I would like to read a prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples. And talking a little bit or part of the prayer, speaking of a glorified life, or God glorifying Jesus. And we can have the same, we can have that same privilege. We can be glorified people here on earth the same way that through the Holy Spirit, the same way that Jesus was glorified. We are joint heirs with Christ. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I am come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And then later on it says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And that small passage there speaks of, we can see the relationship with Jesus and with God, and that is a perfect relationship. That is perfect fellowship between Jesus and God. And we can have that today. If we are truly following after what we know is truth, yes, God is still sanctifying us, but we can have true fellowship with Christ through the Holy Spirit, and we can have that fellowship unhindered if we have nothing between myself and God. So that is a little challenge to each one of us to make sure to keep our relationship open with God. So God bless you all.